These are the last lines from the gospel according to St. Luke. The last time that Jesus is with the disciples. This is a resurrection appearance. You can follow along if you want in your pew Bible. It's up on the screen as well. It starts with the 44th verse there in the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My cell phone rang. Usually I'd have been out on a run by this point, but I wasn't. I wasn't showered or around and in a rush to get off to work. Found it. There was my wife's picture and her number came up on my cell phone. It's an odd time in the morning for her to be calling. Usually she'd be at school at that point. Students maybe not quite yet arrived, but getting very, very close. So not a time that she would call. So whenever you see a call like that, there's an immediate concern that grows in you. I picked up the phone. Said, "Hey, what's going on?" The voice that talked back to me was not my wife's. It said, "Your wife and daughter have been in a car accident. They're going to be taken by ambulance to Women and Children's Hospital. They're okay, but they're being transported now." I don't remember what I did next. If you've ever been in a situation like that, you probably can't recall exactly what you did next after those things. I could hear in the background the sirens and the chaos that was going on, and despite the reassurances that were given, you all know that until you lay hands upon your loved ones, nothing is going to tell you that it's okay. I know, unshowered, I quickly dressed, without care or concern of what I looked like or what I smelled like. I called my parents who live in Rochester and said, "I don't know, I might need you here. I don't exactly know what's going on. I'll let you know as soon as I know something." And then texted my wife's parents and other family members. A million different scenarios ran through my head as I got myself ready and headed off to Women's and Children's Hospital. The day that was going to be unraveled into the day that was. I don't remember what was on the calendar that day, what I was planning to do or hoped to do. And I raced off and raced into the hospital and said, "My wife and child got rushed here by ambulance. Where are they?" And they calmed me down and sent me on my way to the emergency room. Never something one expects to see your little child and your wife with braces around them and blood and other things. A few hours later, though, we walked away. Miraculous. Considering the significance of the impact, it made the news. How the car had spun around and then flipped and eventually landed on its roof. Here's what I later learned, and many have their own stories like this. We don't know what we are capable of until a situation presents itself. Given scenarios beforehand, many of us would deny our potential to act and to do, our ability. Oh, I could never, we'd say. But in the midst of a situation, it plays out differently. I learned that immediately after the car came to rest, my wife, upside down and buckled in, had only two thoughts in her head. They weren't that her sandals had come off her feet or that she was wearing this atrocious tie-dye shirt for the safety bus event of that day. It was, I need to get my daughter out and we need to get out of this car. Those were the only two thoughts. And without thinking any other thing, she unlatched and proceeded driving glass in her hands and knees as she crawled on what would be the roof of the car into the back seat to release my daughter and then get out. With bystanders and even before first responders were present, they were on a curb sitting just away from the tangled mess. Few of us realize the power and potential that lies within until a situation calls upon it, and without thought, we do what we need to. We do what we need to. And we do it without little respect of ourselves, but only out of love and compassion for another. When Christ talks about agape love, bending down and washing the feet of another, this is what he's talking about. But usually when we use the word power, that's the P word, Sheldon, power. When somebody says power, we immediately think of politics, right? The power of authority. We think of warfare. Or we think of electricity and the lights going on. Force. My brothers live in Washington, D.C. It's a wonderful city. I love the city there. But one of the things that I hate about the city is everybody in that city seems to be about power. Getting it, not trying to lose it, acquiring more of it. And being an observer, you ride the metro and go, I don't know if I really like this. But for some, they long for it. And honestly, we all take for granted that our lights go on when we flip the switch, don't we? And then when they don't, when there's an October surprise or something like that, and the gentle hum of the refrigerator disappears, we become desperate. And we curiously wonder how long we can go without power. That's not the kind of power that Jesus speaks of at the end of Luke's gospel when Jesus tells the disciples, hey, you're going to receive power from on high. Nor is it that political status quo. I mean, that was what had led to Jesus' own crucifixion as he challenged that in ways of radical inclusivity. He was talking about something so different, so incredible, so amazing, so defining. Once connected to it, life would be unlivable, unthinkable without it. Once that door opened, it would open to possibilities of God connecting to us and us connecting to God, and that would change the world. Think about this. 12 disciples, and now a third of the world's population claim the Christian faith is their own. You want to talk about power? That's power. He was talking about the kind of power that when the time was right, when the situation arose, it would act and react out of compassion and love and care selflessly because it was the right and the only thing to do. This is what those who followed Jesus would be like. Yet amid this future and the gift of this power which would come, Jesus says to them, and sometimes we need to hear this too, he says, you got to go and wait though. That's the end of that story. Go back to Jerusalem and wait for this. The story says, and they went back and they were in the temple continually praising and praying to God. It's important for us to do that, to wait, but it's also a place that often we can get stuck waiting in between. Praying for power, praising for what we have already experienced in the real presence of Christ among us. Commissioned for our duties, but before we're deployed into action. Sort of in this now and not yet scenario as we go, oh, when, God, when? Go forth, but wait. You have arrived, but you still have so far to go. And this is the end of Luke's account. There's nothing after this. Last of the verses. And in some ways, maybe that's where we find ourselves in the fall often. A time between times. No more resurrection appearances. No more of us shouting with acclamation, "He is risen," and responding, "Okay, I just wanted to make sure you were awake." But an echo in the chaos and hopelessness that surrounds us. How could any of us not feel that way after what we saw in Las Vegas? By the way things are going in the world, it would seem like the power of God's not present at all, right? Where is it? We wait. I wait. I wonder. My hope gets a little shaky too. And I just wonder if that moment isn't just coming. I wonder if it's not right ahead of us. I wonder if that door of power is opening just ajar. And that without knowing how and that we are capable at all, some amazing things are about to take place. Grace and forgiveness and unity and hope and love, such as this world has never known. The power of God will flow through this community, will flow through us. The power of creation and recreation. But we wait, and we're encouraged to wait. Not sure of what, even now gathering to praise and pray and break bread, opening the door to the presence of God. Maybe given our world, there's a reason. Maybe the Holy Spirit led me as I was thinking about this series towards this being the passage we would encounter this morning, to hear this passage, that we need moments like this after what we've gone through in this past week, a time between times, a time when we move from our minds to our hearts. That we need time for the gospel to become something more than we know just up here. We need it to be something that we know and feel in here. We need time to truly connect to God, and so that means connecting to one another, to the hope of all that is possible when we can be connected into that power. And I need you to remind me and pray with me and praise with me and break bread with me. I need it too. I need in hopelessness to be reminded that God has greater things in store for you and for me, for this church, for this world, on earth as in heaven. With the eyes of our hearts open by spending this time together and opening doors of praise and prayer and presence, I believe that we're going to come to know something more. That we're going to be given a glimpse into something greater. We're going to be invited into something deeper. We're going to be asked in this time, are you going to be just followers or are you going to be witnesses? Are you going to be witnesses to this thing that you know? Will you be sent to then find Jesus everywhere present? Will you become apostles and open the door to this power from on high? And when the time is right, when the situation comes, I believe that we will act. Because of the truth of this day is that God is out there in the grit and in the midst, in the broken glass of life. God is out there among the people. God is in the people and places that desperately need repentance and the knowledge that they too are loved. God is out there in the accidents of life, in the rolled over realities of what our lives have become, waiting. And Jesus is asking us not to follow, but to be sent. to be witnesses, to witness to this reality, to this presence, to this forgiveness, to this repentance, to this power that can walk on water and can crawl through glass. God is out there waiting for us. Waiting for us to bring forgiveness in our love for others. Through that turning them toward the reality of God which becomes present when we are together. Where two or three are gathered. It's time to start looking and following with eyes of our hearts. We know it up here. And we know how it feels to be loved despite our flaws and to love others despite theirs. We know what it is like because of this to be close to God. And so it's time as we wait to look ahead towards that moment when we'll walk by that vision. Not to follow, but to lead, to be sent, and to find Jesus everywhere present. We'll know what to do when the situation arises. Maybe we're not ready yet. Maybe we find ourselves feeling like we just in our faith are not ready to step out on our own, that we can't do it. We don't know how we'll find the strength. And thankfully, Scripture shows that Christ understood the need to find and feel and empowered us to do so. And until that time came, Christ encourages our being together, opening doors to God in praise, in prayer, in presence, that we might first learn here with one another how to forgive and how once again to hope. But while we are given this time to prepare, the time is coming when we're going to be sent. The power we will need is coming. The door is right ahead of us. For the moment, we wait. There's a song, "Soon and Very Soon, We Are Going to See the Lord." Soon and very soon, the children shall prophesy. Our teens and college folks will see visions. Our old are going to dream dreams. Not of what's up there in some ether above us, but what is possible here when we live by the vision of our hearts. Not of the distant reality of heaven or some spiritual realm, but to the signs of God's love and life breaking forth in the most unlikely places all around us. And we are called, no, we are sent to celebrate them and nourish them and bear witness to them. When the time comes, we won't be following. We'll be leading. We'll be sent, seeing with the vision of our hearts, sometimes crawling through glass, but with a power that we didn't even know we had, because it will be a power that is of God. And is God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, for the days of praise and prayer and presence which open us to you and you to us. We give you thanks for the promise that you will give us the strength we will need, the power to persevere in the face of adversity and injustice and brokenness. And we live in the confidence that with that, we will be able to respond when called upon. Yet we admit that our hopes are challenged by the suffering of your world, that we need this time to be reminded of your power and glory, of your reign, which we pray for and which we work toward, of your promise of reconciliation. Remind us of this truth, bringing our gaze once again to earth, and help us to find our strength to go into the world and do your will on earth as in heaven, to build the kingdom on earth as in heaven. For you call us to be your witnesses to all the world, unafraid of what others might think or say about us. You have invited us out of darkened places and into the light of your world as emissaries of hope and justice, peace and compassion. And so we praise you and celebrate you, God among us, We receive your invitation to live your dream for all that is possible in us and for our world. And so we ask also that you come to us now. Come and clothe us with power from on high. Come and surround us with that incredible grace and compassion which will fill us with hope and confidence. And then send us out as witnesses to these things in the name of Christ. Amen.